All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool and my ginger snap cookies.
Oh, man.
I went downstairs.
I can't believe you're going to break those out on the show right in front of me.
Well, you know, we're recording these episodes. I went down to the kitchen to get the second beer because we do these episodes back to back.
Right.
And as soon as I walked down the stairs from my office, this smell, this aroma hits me. And my wife is downstairs baking Christmas cookies. And today's cookie is ginger snap.
Fresh out of the oven.
Fresh out of the oven. And it's one of my favorite cookies. So I just couldn't resist. So it's probably going to totally screw up my beer tasting. Cause I'm going to have this really rich ginger with whatever's coming up.
Mixed with whatever. Whatever we shall find out.
Yeah. So, eating ginger snap cookies on a podcast, munching in people's ear. That's good. That's good podcast radio right there.
What's nothing wrong with a little chewing there. No, as long as it's good.
What's that called? The ASRM or whatever they do, you know, where they make all the weird sounds for YouTube videos and stuff. We're going down that rabbit hole today, I guess. Seriously. So we were talking with Pete on the last episode from Pete's Wicked Ale. And then afterwards in the green room, we were talking, he just starts throwing out all this stuff. We're like, well, that would have been really
nice
cool
to record.
Yeah. And somebody, I don't know who, somebody on the production end forgot to hit record.
You while idiot. We're in the green.
So we need to fire that person. But luckily I took notes, so I did capture some of it. We won't do it justice, but we are going to go through some of the things that he works through with his clients when he does score consulting, which is kind of a nonprofit part of, I think he said the Better Business Bureau, or one of those companies, Small Business Administration. I think that's what it is.
Yep.
So where you can get free consulting from people like Pete, you know, who started and sold two craft companies, craft beer and craft chocolate. My kind of guy. Talk about a life well lived. I mean, craft beer and craft chocolate and get a big check for both.
Yeah. Not bad. Basically, you're set. Somebody buys you out, which is actually the dream. Most people think the dream of an entrepreneur is to own a business for the rest of their life. I think for most entrepreneurs, it's to have a business that they can sell for a lot of money.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what he did. So,
yeah. Well, before we get into that, we're going to drop a couple things that he's told us, you know, off while we stopped recording in the green room that I think are pretty good. So, like I said, we won't be able to go into the full explanation that he might give, but I did take enough notes to at least warrant a quick episode here. Plus, we've got more beer to taste, and I had to taste this beer today, and I wanted to get to it. My hopes are kind of high.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm not disappointed. But
well, that's a perfect reason to have another episode.
Yeah.
Is to try another beer.
Yeah. And speaking of trying other beers that you don't normally try, we have this cool little service that you could subscribe to called the Original Craft Beer Club.
Outstanding craft beers from the finest independent microbreweries in the U.S. of A. One of the best ways you can sample these unique beers is by letting the Original Craft Beer Club do all the legwork and bring the best beer discoveries in the country right to you. And how can you do that? Well, you can first go to persuasionbythepint.com/craftbeer to learn more. Then you can sign up. You can get, whether it's monthly, bi-monthly, however you want, you can have an assortment of beers delivered right to your door without having to get out.
Yep. I've been doing this for what? It's been 4 or 5 months now, go through this pandemic, and had some great beers come through, some average beers come through. So through the season, and they kind of shift with the seasons, but you know, stuff that you can't get in your area. So if you live in Texas, you're not going to get a lot of Wisconsin or Oregon or wherever beers, because they're not nationally You know, they're not distributed nationally. So it's kind of cool to get those and get the backstories on them and get a little trivia and little write-ups about the beer. So really good stuff. I'm waiting on my December shipment. Haven't gotten it yet. Super excited to get that. But yeah, it's a great service and I'm really enjoying it. You get the subscription I have is four different beers, three of each. So it's four beers, three of each. So you get 12 beers, which is about right. You know, we go through one or two per, and we go through one per episode here. Mm-hmm. Gives me a couple extra during the week. So yeah, it's a good service and I'm enjoying it. I wish they had a few more darker beers, but if you like just the variety and really appreciate the craft beer world, like we talked with Pete on the last episode, then you'll really enjoy the original Craft Beer Club.
Yep. Absolutely. And again, great Christmas gifts. We got Christmas 2 weeks away. Yep. Great Christmas gifts to give out to somebody who is a, you know, a beer aficionado. If they like kind of that, trying the beer of the month or trying new selections and like to try something new every now and then, this is a great way to do it. Just give a gift, you know, even a one-time gift. You can send them like a case of it or a, you know, a 12 pack or something like that.
Yeah. And if they got one of those like craft beer apps where they're trying to rack up all their craft beers, like this is a great way to like put them ahead of their friends. Cause they'll have stuff nobody else has.
Yep.
Absolutely. And we all want stuff that our friends don't have. That's the American way.
Absolutely.
That's the American way. All right. So let's get in. So this, my beer for today is not from the craft beer club. Cause I did run out on my shipment waiting for the next one. So I went down to the local HEB and, found me a beer made in Texas by Texans.
By Texans.
It is brewed and canned by Martin House Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas, which I think I've had recently, the same brew company. So check out this. Oh, let's see if I can get the without the glare. So,
oh man, that looks like,
like a blonde haired Jesus or something, right?
Wait, now he looks like he's a chef.
Yes. Chef. You're on the right track.
What's he got in his plate? I'm just trying
to roll this around.
Ah, dessert.
Dessert beer. Bananas Foster dessert beer with banana, cinnamon, and rum flavor. This could be a train wreck or it could be absolutely amazing.
Let's see that face again because I'm thinking.
I mean,
yeah, that looks like.
Yeah, if I hold the can just right, it catches the glare. It really shines. Sure. It's like
one of my wrestling heroes from the 80s, like Dusty Rhodes or somebody like that. You know,
like, yes, it looks like one of your little like your Stretch Armstrong doll maybe that you had that you pulled all the way across the street with your buddy and it snapped. We all did that.
Absolutely.
Or the Incredible Hulk version of the Stretch Armstrong, whichever one you had. And then that red goo comes out and you're like, what is this stuff?
Oh man. So,
that was a good old days.
See to be a child of the 80s again.
I know, right? Man. Now it's all virtual reality and video games and stuff. I mean, we had our video games, but it wasn't all we had, you know?
Yeah. So we had Pac-Man and Mario and
Space Invaders.
Space Invaders.
Had the old Atari, Pitfall. That was next level, man. Pitfall was like next level.
Anybody that ever loved Indiana Jones loved Pitfall.
Yeah. So it was like, it's living vicarious. It was like being Indiana Jones.
That's right.
It was as close to virtual reality as we got.
Absolutely.
So, all right.
All right. So I got actually a similar character. And I've actually had this. So I had this, I think, like when we first started the show, I think I brought this one on, but it's been a while. And actually had my sister-in-law came by, week before last. And she actually brought a six pack of this by, and I had it available. And I remembered we haven't really officially reviewed this. We kind of talked about it on some of our previous episodes, but that was before we did our, kind of our rating. So this is an Einstock. And it is the Icelandic Toasted Porter. Icelandic Toasted Porter.
I seem to remember. remember that. Seem to remember that that was not as good as the label.
I know. I think you're right.
I think we said that afterwards. We're like, because that's when I was joining you in the studio there.
That's right. That's right. We did. Like,
this
was an in-studio beer. And we called it the Thor beer, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, man, I hope it's better than it was before.
Yeah. So
I'm misremembering. Maybe it was a different, but it had those colors for sure.
We're going to give it justice regardless today, because it escaped our wrath, our ranking wrath back in the day. So it's going to get its due today on the show.
Oh, wow. This smells like,
it's a, we may have a really bad rating day.
It smells like some type of banana candy, mm-hmm. which I guess is in the right direction, right? Cause it's dessert beer, bananas Foster. But I'm thinking like a little square, like chewy taffy. That's what it is.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It smells like banana saltwater taffy. That's what it smells like. If you taste like that, I'll be fine. That's awesome.
You said banana. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Chewy, taffy, banana style. Yeah.
Yeah. So like a banana saltwater taffy. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, if it tastes like that, I'm good. Yeah. Like that would be fine with me. So.
Okay. All right. Well,
let's do it.
That's the wrong one. There we go. Although we might need to do a little bit of this. If it's bad. Yeah. It's amazing. Nothing changes.
Let's see. Well, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need a womp womp. Do you have a womp womp?
I think we used to have one, and I replaced it with something womp, else. Womp, womp. I can give us a laugh.
Yeah, that's close. this is a letdown. Like the last one was pretty good. The last one I had, the old Brewster Cogburn. But this one is a little bit of a letdown. I mean, I should have known when you go so over the top with Bananas Foster can. I knew I was rolling the dice when I came into this, but it's not like bad. It's just, it's to use Pete's words from last, it's not memorable either way. Mm-hmm. Like it's not super bad and it's not super good. It's just kind of, smell a little banana, but it's not like a really memorable taste.
Yeah.
So a little disappointing there. I'm going to give this a 2.7.
Mm. Wow.
So,
that's disappointing. I'm gonna follow you with and I kind of expected this, but yeah, I mean this Einstock, the and I don't even know what it got. I haven't checked it out on Beer Advocate or any of these other sites like that. But my own opinion, and from our previous tasting, when we started out doing this before our ranking system, this beer is just, there's not much taste to it at all. You know, you can taste a little bit of, I guess maybe a little coffee, but there's no balance in it there's no sweetness at all. I mean, it's just, I don't know, not much taste in it to me at all. So.
Yeah. I tend to remember that.
It's bitter. It's more, you get kind of more just a bitter taste, if anything. Mm-hmm. And there's not much to balance it out. So,
I don't know. Yes, so don't let the sexy packaging fool you.
That's right.
If you come across the Einz, because it is great packaging.
Oh, I love the Thor guy or the Viking guy on the front. It's really cool.
Yeah, and the colors are nice. It's very, very kind of masculine. You know, stands out nicely.
Yeah,
but yeah,
but yeah. It's just like I can take a couple of sips, and there's just nothing. You know, there's nothing. There's just not much flavor. So,
disappointing. Well, let's get into some.
Oh, I got to give my rate. So I'm going to give it. I've got to give it a. I'm going to give it a two. I'll give it a 2.4. 2.4.
Yeah. 2.4. All right. So down on the lower end.
Yep.
All right. So yeah, I gave mine 2.7. not awful, but just not as what I was expecting.
Right.
So all right. So as I said, we were talking to Pete of Pete's Wicked Ale, and I can't remember the chocolate name, but Pete's Chocolate, we'll call it that.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly what his name, but Cocoa something. And he gave us some tips afterwards. He dropped a ton of great ideas and thoughts and everything on the show. So if you haven't heard that, go back and listen to the last episode. Oh, look, you've already put it on the whiteboard, huh?
The mini whiteboard.
So treat your product with reverence and everything else with irreverence. Peace, Pete Schlossberg.
There you go, Pete. It's all you.
There you go. It's already up on the wall almost on the wall in the office.
Yeah, this is the mini whiteboard. It hasn't gone on the big whiteboard yet, but it's going to. That's a great takeaway.
It is. It really is. It was, treat your product with that reverence, but then everything around it, the branding, the marketing, have fun. That was a big point he made, was have fun, which kind of leads into what he calls, when he does his consulting with SCORE, he'll take new people through their elevator pitch and he'll ask them four questions. And then he has kind of a fifth question. But the four top questions he asks is, number one is who you are. Who are you as a company? Who are you as a brand? Like, what are you here for? It's not just I'm a beer company. It's like, well, what kind of beer? And like really get into who you are. Yeah. I can't see. I knew this was going to happen. Like, I'm afraid I can't read the next question.
You wrote it down so fast you can't
niche,
read it.
Yeah, niche. So the next question was like, what's your niche? Like, what part of the market do you want to really go after and take over? And we talk about niching a lot. But it's interesting because he comes from kind of the big retail, distribution.
Sure.
You're on actual shelves, and that was a great tip on the last show where he's like, if you're going that route, take a picture of your product or take an actual, prototype of your product, put it on a shelf in the grocery store or whatever store, take a picture of it, and then ask 10 people you don't know, what do you see when you look at this picture? And if they don't see your product, redesign it.
Right.
Which is getting harder and harder because people are starting to catch on to that. It's like we talked about, that's how we buy our beers these days, is what sticks out, what stands out on the shelf, what has a cool label or anything else. But you really need to know your niche. Is it something new? Is it unique? Like, why are you going into that niche? And then he said, and I know these things seem obvious, but nobody sits down and actually writes out the answers to these questions. I mean, I ask my clients this, it's easy to just kind of gloss over them and kind of get them about right. But very few people actually like work this out and put it in writing. So the next one, the third thing is, who are your competitors? A lot of people are like, well, I'm original, I have no competitors.
Right.
Which is rarely, especially these days, ever true. Even when Pete launched his brand, what was that? What did he say? 84, 86, somewhere in there. 86. One of the things he did later on was he created this really cool graphic to educate people on the beer market, and he put all his competitors on there. So he wasn't the first. There were still Sam Adams. There were still, some of these other brands out there. They weren't super well known. Right. The whole niche was small. Right. But he knew who they were.
Sure.
And he knew how they compared to his Wicked Ale. And, he was able to identify those competitors, and you have to do that because then the next question is, why are you better?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you different?
Right.
Absolutely. And we certainly talk about this one a lot.
Story is a big thing. I mean, if you go to, you go to your local gas station or, Quickie Mark or whatever, and you go to the cooler, and if you're looking for a bottle of water, you're going to see like probably 10 different brands.
Yeah. At least.
So, one of the things that, talking about guerrilla marketing, how to stand out, what catches your eye is, when I always go to the cooler, like if I make a stop, and typically I'll stop and grab a bottle of water or something and a snack, and like I go for the water. Well, your eye naturally gravitates to the, you know, something that's different. So let's take, for instance, a bottle of Voss, V-O-S-S, you know.
It's funny. That's the one I was thinking of. I was like, he's going to say Voss. Voss.
So not only do they have, like, their bottles are different, you know, because they're straight cylinder, you know, even the cap is like everything is pretty much all the way down from top to bottom is just a straight cylinder and you just take the cap off. But they've got like also like glass bottles, you know, which is completely different. It's kind of that cool feel. They've got plastic glass bottles, but it's really unique. So your eye just naturally, just like we talk about with beer, you know, these labels that really catch our eye, you know, the product that you display, if you're different and if you, you know, present something that's really unique and really cool looking, which their bottles are really cool looking, then, you know, I'm going to pick that up.
Yeah. I mean, Voss has that really high end look, you know, and it's not much more expensive.
No,
it's less than like Fiji water, but yeah, it's just, if you like that kind of a little bit of that touch of modern kind of look, then that's, you know, now if you're like a super country, you know, shabby chic kind of person, you're probably not going to go for that bottle. That's not your style.
Right.
But for the people who like that style, it's just great design. So that's a good, that's a great point. And that's a, well, you talk about a tough market, like what makes you different with water, you know? So you got your pH waters, you got your electrolyte waters, you know, you got your spring waters and then you've got
your alkaline, you know, your
alkaline now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've got all these different.
And all that happens because they're all trying to find their unique thing and create a unique segment within the bottled water industry.
Yeah.
And that industry has just exploded, you know, over the past 10 years. It's just amazing. Like I'm sure my grandfather and your grandfather is just laughing. I mean, even us, right? I mean, you think going back to the '80s, like we're drinking out of garden hoses in the front yard. And it's like hot. It's like burning hot when you first in the summer.
Yeah.
Like when you first turn it on, the hose is practically melting.
Oh yeah.
No telling what's coming with the water from that hose.
Yep.
And then, you know, it finally cools off after, you know, two or three people have taken a drink of it, but we were drinking. We should, that'd be a great product. We should just have like garden hose water and that would be, we'll have it like it's in a green.
Yeah. You know, we talk about nostalgia all the time, dude. That's like taking people back to the '80s big time.
Yeah. We could have that same green garden hose with a stripe absolutely. On it. Man, that'd be
fun. Remember we lived out in the country and I remember sitting out, we actually had a well. Okay. You know, we had about an acre or so of land and we had our own well. And I remember us sitting out on the well a lot of times or sitting out there and like when it got hot, we'd have the well and then we'd have the big long, like you said, the green hose coming out of that.
Yep.
You'd turn the water on when you got hot and just drinking out of that. And it's got, like you said, it's got its own taste, you know, it's got the, you're tasting the, a little bit of that rubber hose. Yeah. Especially when it's warmed up, you know, got that hot sun kind of warming up the rubber. It's like, there's nothing like it.
Yeah. Yeah. We may have a hit on our hands right there. I'm gonna call Ryan and tell him I got a new product idea. Garden hose water.
Garden hose water. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it's funny because as crazy as that sounds, like there's a segment of the population, the segment of the market that would buy it just for the nostalgia of it.
Yeah, because there's a distinct taste in garden hose water. I'm going to tell you.
And just and there's a certain part of the population that would buy it just to like thumb their nose at people who are like
that are drinking the fancy bottles. Like, you know, there's always a reaction to everything.
Yeah. You got the contrarian that's going to buy it just to make a point.
So you got the Fiji over here, you know, that's got the unique story of like the Fiji Islands and getting, you know, how they pull it from the
purest water on earth or whatever they say.
And then you got over here, right, sitting right next to it or right above it on the shelf, you've got well water.
Yeah, well water, garden water.
Garden hose water.
Yeah. Got a picture of a kid on the label drinking out of a garden hose. Perfect. Perfect.
I think that would be awesome.
That would be fun. All right. I might have to make a phone call.
Can I show you something real quick? before we move on to the next one. Talking about that uniqueness. So Apple sends me this week. Apple, you know, we talk about Apple a lot because we're, you know, we're not.
They take all our money. That's all we talk about.
Yeah. I mean, you sent me a link this week of these new, the new headphones. What are the,
The over-ear headphones.
Yeah. The over-the-ear, the AirPod Max.
Max. Yeah.
Man, those things are slick. Yeah. But anyway, they send me, so I ordered and I actually signed up. I don't know why, but I decided to sign up for a, you know, an Apple card. So they can't just send like everybody else. They can't just send you a credit card, right? They have to send you the slick packaging, which if you see that, it's got their logo on the front, like with the cardboard, you know, the cardboard, you know, envelope with the, the fancy design. I mean, just like every bit of their packaging. And their card is not a plastic card, as you know. It's a metal. It's metal, you know. So they're giving you something that's completely different than everything else in your wallet.
Hold that up closer so I can see the number.
There is no number. See, that's why I can hold it up. Ah. You just see the chip.
Nice.
Fancy, right? But I mean, it's like this thing is solid, but... Everything they do, it's again about being a little bit different than, you know, everything else that you see out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they were founded on design and they've stuck to that. Even when you there's things we don't like about the way they do things and we think they should do this, they seem to always come out on top. They're like three steps ahead of the market, like of what we think we want. You know, they roll out as like, nope, you don't. You don't need a headphone port anymore. We've decided.
Yep.
We have, they're like Caesar, right? We have declared the headphone port is irrelevant.
Yes.
Unneeded.
No.
And you're like, how can you do that? And then they roll out the AirPods. You're like,
I see. Okay.
I've never used headphones with wires.
That's
again.
Right.
And then at least not with my phone anyway.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
How and we yell at them the whole time that we're actually USB clicking ports. The buy button.
Yeah, it's like no USB ports. I remember when they got rid of the CD-ROM drive, and I was like, "What? No CD-ROM? No DVD? How am I supposed to load software?"
That's right. That's right.
But they knew everything was going to be downloaded, right? Because they're ahead of the curve. They know where everybody's going.
Right.
So it reminds me of that Wayne Gretzky quote, right? Skate to where the puck is going, not where it is.
Exactly.
And they are
always I mean, you look at their newest MacBook with this M1 chip. I mean, way ahead of the game. It's incredible.
Yeah,
but yet we and we bitch and whine about the USB going away, the USB ports and this and that going away, but yet we still continue to go back like a dog. What does it say? The dog to the vomit and spend money. So,
yeah, I mean, I had totally written the MacBook Pro off and then they say, oh, we've got this new chip. And I start reading about it. It's got like 24-hour battery life and like all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, guess we get a new MacBook Pro next year. As soon as the 15-inch comes out.
That's right.
I'll be diving in. Mm-hmm. So for another $50,000, whatever they cost.
Exactly. I mean, they have your average consumer who used to think in terms of, you know, I'll go to Office Depot and Office Max and just buy me a computer.
Yeah. Get an old
HP. They've totally changed that. The whole paradigm of buying a computer. So
it's like Starbucks, you know, that tripled the price of coffee.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, go to McDonald's and get it for $1.50 or you can go to Starbucks and get it for $5.50. Right. Same coffee. McDonald's actually may be better coffee, but you're paying for the experience and the atmosphere. And so much so that McCafe is designed after Starbucks. I mean, that's the whole point of the new McCafe stuff.
Yep.
And it works. A few years back, I wrote a financial newsletter promo about how all these, you know, McDonald's were remodeling their stores in this more cafe style and this more Starbucks style. And some of the research showed that when they did the remodel, it would add 25% revenue after the remodel, which is pretty amazing. I mean, that's a big jump.
Sure.
And it doesn't change anything on the menu. Mm-hmm. It's just the feeling you get when you walk in the store.
Right.
And somehow that translates to 25% revenue. That means for every dollar you spend, you're spending $1.25. Mm. Like, that's just like, if you really sit and think about it, it doesn't really make sense. But, you know, I'm sure he got more traffic because more people were willing to have business meetings there. Sure. That's one of the things they said. You know, it didn't feel like they got rid of the big red plastic booths,
right?
You know, that felt like kid, you know, the kiddie land part, right. Got rid of the Ronald McDonald and all that stuff. So you could meet somebody there for a business meeting if you wanted to,
yeah.
Which is one of the things that people love about Starbucks.
Yep.
You can go in and have a meeting there. So that's kind of stuff. So
right.
It's just amazing that, you know, those little things. So let me just go through those. Who are you? Mm-hmm. What's your niche? Who are your competitors and why are you better or different? And that's kind of the basic elevator pitch that Pete goes through with,
yeah,
with people he mentors and score. And then he asked him this question, which I thought was really good. And that is, what benefits do you bring to the world?
Mm.
And he made a point that says, from the customer's perspective.
Yeah.
So it's not just, well, we're going to provide more jobs or anything like that, right? It's, what benefit do you bring to the world from a customer's perspective? How do you make the world better is what I heard.
Right.
You know, why should I give you my money? Mm-hmm. To how are you going to better the world if I give you my money? And I think a good example of this, you know, one of the best examples over the last 10 years or so is Tom's Shoes.
Mm, yeah.
Where it's like you buy a pair of shoes and we give a pair of shoes. And now Bombas, a lot of people have followed that model, right? Bombas now has, you buy a pair of socks, we give a pair of socks to the homeless shelters.
Absolutely.
All those kind of things. And then there's a lot of other companies that Subaru gives, you know, a portion of sales to different things. And a lot more people are getting into these types of charitable ideas.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people, you know, the Tom Shoes, I remember him talking about, may have been on Shark Tank one time when he was one of the sharks, but he said, you know, people thought he was crazy when he came, like when he had that idea of like giving a pair of shoes away.
Yeah.
Like investors would be like, no, that's not a good business strategy, you know?
Yeah. You're going to double your cost of goods.
Right.
That's all they saw, right?
Sure.
If you ask the MBA, they're going to be like, well, that doubles the cost of goods. You can't do that and survive.
Yeah.
And they don't understand the goodwill that creates when you're willing to do good.
Yep.
Goodwill is one of those things that, you know, especially in the direct response space that we're kind of more in, it's hard to put a number on goodwill, but if you look at a lot of the big companies, that's a line item in their actual like profit and loss statements. They can actually put a number on goodwill because it's worth so much.
Right.
And I kind of got that, but then as I've been working with Rudy over here at the agency, and he's been part of taking over some of these big iconic brands that the brick and mortar part went out, but then they brought them back to an online presence.
Right.
So Pier One, Radio Shack, some of these brands, I mean, they fire these websites up and they just start doing sales immediately.
Right.
Cause there's so much value just in the name and the goodwill they've built up over the years, you know, whether they've done anything, you know, really good, help the world or not, you know, imagine if they had.
Sure.
And then that would be even more powerful. But it just goes to show that if you get a good reputation, it's worth a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And it can outlast even, you know, even though they went out of business because not enough people were shopping there to support the retail structure physically, people still like the brand. Mm-hmm. So, and that just gives you a deeper tie. So, you know, if you feel better about buying Tom's Shoes or Bombas or Subaru because they're donating to these things, you're going to be more loyal and you're going to buy more over your lifetime.
Oh, absolutely.
So another thing he said was to create a company sell sheet create a company sell sheet.
Yeah. I love that.
So I'll let you go into that a little bit. Go ahead.
No, you go. I mean, I just like the idea of it. but
yeah. I don't. So I think there's a couple different types of sell sheets, and I wasn't sure. We'll have to ask him maybe when you have him on one of your other shows, but you can report back. So there's like two types of sell sheets, really. There's like a product sell sheet that you would use for retail and that type of distribution. Mm-hmm. And there's also, when you get to that point, there's also like actual selling your company sell sheet. Like when you're ready to put your company on the market. I'm pretty sure he was talking about individual products.
Yeah, I think so.
So when you take your, because he was big in, you know, he's as an alcohol brand that's very reliant on wholesalers mm-hmm. that then, you know, pitch your product for shelf space to the liquor stores, the grocery stores, all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty, as I think about that, it's pretty amazing what he did in the 80s and 90s, because that was like not all stores, even especially grocery stores, didn't even sell alcohol back then.
Right.
A lot of them.
Oh yeah.
Now alcohol's everywhere, right? I mean, it's like grocery stores everywhere. So the fact that he had that distribution, even
those small towns, that was a challenge. And even think about it, even some of the restaurants in some of the small towns, mm-hmm. even out in California, you had dry counties back then. I mean, it's hard to believe nowadays, but that's a challenge.
Yeah, we're about to have marijuana go legal nationally, right. So federally. So, we've come a long ways. So, having a company sell sheet where it just kind of really breaks down like basically everything we've just talked about so far on the show mm-hmm. that you can hand people, show people in a nutshell what you're about, mm-hmm. you know, why your product's different, all these things to help them tell your story to the whoever they need to pitch it to.
Absolutely.
And then this final thing that he said that I thought was just really good was handling objections. And he told a story on the last episode about how he actually went out into the, you know, the restaurants and things like that to get these. But he said, find out why people are saying no, mm-hmm. and then figure out in your product and your branding, you know, in your distribution, how do you turn those no's into yeses? Mm.
Yeah.
And he gave a great example with a graphic that he created, which I thought was just amazing. And it said, you know, the big problem was people didn't understand craft beer. They didn't know what it tastes like, because this was back before craft beer was big. Yeah. So like they weren't sure. And the waitresses and waiters, they didn't know what, I guess they're called servers now. Yeah. My apologies.
We're going to get
an explicit rating for calling people waitresses. He created this graphic that it showed all the different types of beer and kind of how they, mm-hmm. where they were on color and taste and all these kind of things, including his competitors. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't scared to put that on there because he wanted the whole industry to rise.
Right.
But the objection is, I don't know what this tastes like. So how do you help solve that objection? You create a graphic that people can show to people, and even have t-shirts made up for people. So,
because a lot of these people didn't know, they had a vested interest because they didn't know enough about some of these up and coming, you know, beers. So they would naturally, if I'm a waitress or a waiter, or I'm sorry, Sean, a server,
there you go,
which to me is more demeaning than, I mean, to say, I don't know. So I guess I'm just old fashioned.
What do you know?
But, you know, if I'm in their position, I'm going to sell them what they're familiar with, right? Because that means more tip, a higher tip for me, the more they're buying of this, whatever, you know, whether it's Budweiser, Miller, Coors, you know, the big brands. So I want them to go with what they're familiar with. And if I try to steer them in a different direction, they're like, you know. So, you know, what he was doing was great. It's educating, you know, it's putting a package, you know, packaging together that educates the people that are ultimately going to be selling your beer, and helping them understand how to explain it and how to, you know, educate their customers ultimately. So.
Yeah. And you can do this online too. I mean, right. You can send out surveys. You can find out why people are saying no. Mm-hmm. And then figure out how do you turn the no's into yeses earlier in the process.
Right.
And I think that's a great, great takeaway. And if you do some of the other stuff that we've talked about in this episode, you will get rid of a lot of the nose by being much clearer and, you know, much more kind of in tune with your audience, in tune with what the competitors are doing, really in tune with what you offer as a product or a brand. Mm-hmm. But even if you do all of that, there's still going to be a lot of people that say no, and you're still going to make some mistakes. So if you go out into the marketplace and find out why people are saying no, and then figure out a strategy to turn those into yeses, you know, that's how he got, you know, 100% growth.
Sure.
10 years running.
Yeah.
It was, you know, a combination of those things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I thought that was really good stuff. And he just kind of, I loved how he just kind of threw that out, like while we were in the green room after the last episode. He's like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And we're like, I'm like, wow, we should probably talk about that.
I know. And I love how I didn't record that. That was even cooler. No.
Well, we had now we had an excuse for an extra beer and
that's right.
An extra 40 minutes of talk.
You know, and I would encourage people, you know, we mentioned this on the last episode, but if you want to get this, if you want to understand this, watch a series of Shark Tank. You know, I don't care what season it is, but like go, you know, if you have Amazon Prime or something like that, you know, jump on that and watch like a season of Shark Tank, because the first 5 minutes of every pitch that every entrepreneur does to these sharks, you know, covers this. Why are you different? Yep. You know, what separates you from the competition? What's your plan? How do you plan to market? You know, everything is covered like in the first 5 to 10 minutes of this. Yep. And that determines whether these sharks are in or whether they're out, and they are brutally honest. I mean, it's really interesting to watch. So that's a good marketing lesson, like from a guerrilla marketing standpoint. It's just watching that and seeing, like, I don't care what industry you're in or what business you're in, just seeing like people pick apart a product or a business, you know, within that first 5 minutes, you know, of their introduction is just fabulous. It's good learning.
Yeah, definitely. So, I don't know if you can hear in the background, but Diesel's trying to say hello.
Oh, hello, Diesel. He smells those ginger.
The ginger snaps. He sees something out the window. I don't know what it is. So he's barking here in the background.
I gotcha.
But that's all I had for the episode. So
yep.
I think we can call that.
Just to emphasize it, I'm going to hold it up one more time.
Oh, there we go.
My big takeaway.
Yeah. Treat your product with reverence and everything else with irreverence. Yep. Pete Schlossberg of Pete's Wicked Ale.
Good stuff.
I'm going to
have Pete on another podcast, and I'm saving this for that podcast. We might be doing some, I think the week of Christmas, we'll be doing like, because we typically do these on Friday, we'll probably, like the week of Christmas, we might be doing these on a Wednesday or a Thursday or something like that.
Yeah.
Probably a Wednesday, the week of Christmas. So thanks as always for listening. You can find us at persuasionbythepint.com. You can find us on all of your channels, Stitcher Radio, iHeart, Spotify, any of your platforms that you listen to those fine podcasts, you can find us. And you can also find our Facebook group right there, facebook.com/groups/persuasion. Sean, it's been fun. We'll see you next time.
See ya.